If you travel, you know how to really go off the grid. Like no cell service in your room off the grid. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths, sound baths, and ice baths? Because when you set up your out of office, you mean it. Because when you're the escape artist, vacation is all about resting, meditating, drinking water, and minding your own businessing. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/you know.
We love sustainability, and so does Macy's. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Blue, 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 blue. Welcome to Best Friends.
You know, we have a theme song that does play. We don't have to sing ourselves in.
Yeah, we do. We do have a theme song. Most podcasts have theme songs, much like television shows.
Good. Yes.
Well,
what other things have theme songs?
What else has a theme song? A commercial? Well, I guess that's a jingle.
Yeah. I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Podcast.
Actually,
television.
I learned that, I don't know if it's in real life, but in NBA 2K, which my man is playing right now, he can pick songs for certain things. Like there's an intro song for when he comes out to the floor. And then there is a noise that can happen when he like dunks on somebody, or a tune that can happen when he like steals something. And I assume that that can happen in real life, but also I have no idea. This is a game, so I don't know if the players get the freedom to choose their own songs that play, but probably.
I feel like they all get one song that plays on a loop when they all come out. It's like and here comes Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Have you been watching that the NBA the Chicago Bulls documentary?
I am trying to find the headspace to take in this new information.
Okay. Did something happen to you in the 90s that you can't you don't want to be brought back to, or?
Yeah. You know how my whole family lives in Chicago, right?
Yes.
Well, I got to meet Michael Jordan, and he balled me up like a basketball and bounced me around, and I wasn't wearing a helmet or anything.
Oh, my gosh.
So I sustained a little bit of damage to my arms and my neck.
Oh, no.
So I don't want to relive that painful experience. No, I'm kidding. I have, like, this weird thing where I have limited headspace for new information when it comes to TV shows.
Okay. Like you're watching too many and you don't want to start confusing them, or?
Rewatching things is a point of comfort, and watching new things, it doesn't give me anxiety, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to watch new things. It's strange. I've discovered this in quarantine.
Yeah. Well then, take your time. It'll be there.
Thank you. Is it on Netflix?
I think we've been watching it through the NBA app or something like that. Or no, an ESPN. I don't know sports stuff.
Oh, okay.
I just let him handle it. But yeah, I think it's the ESPN app.
What does ESPN stand for? E, entertainment, N, E-S.
No.
E, entertain, S, sports, E-S-P, players, N, network.
Maybe P is production? I don't know what the P is for.
E.
But I believe the S is for sports.
Yeah. Wait, give me on the keys. What does ESPN stand for?
Program?
Oh.
Entertainment Sports Program Network?
Oh, Kimmy on the keys, give us a thumbs up. That's what it means.
Ah, all right. Well,
you know, I really like that we learn new things constantly.
We do no research before we start recording. We go straight into it.
No, what the fuck is the point?
Yeah.
I like it. I like learning in real time because it's like school. Life is school.
Except we're teaching ourselves. It's not like there's a teacher.
Well, that's like children now in quarantine. They're teaching themselves.
Oh, boy. I'm so glad I don't have kids right now.
I also am very glad. I am glad every day that I don't have kids. This is before quarantine.
Right. But yeah, all those parents having to teach their kids. I mean, God bless you. Like, that's... I hope everyone's staying sane, and we'll be out of it eventually.
We will. That's the spirit, Sashir. We'll be out of this eventually.
But sometimes I've seen some videos that are nice where it's like there's some teachers came to some kids' like window and taught them a lesson or answered a question or something like that, or they're just like Zooming together. And that seems nice.
Well, now I know this information. Somebody out there, please find these videos and make me a compilation with "Come to My Window" underneath.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny?
I'd watch that. Yeah. Have you ever seen those compilations of soldiers seeing their dogs for the first time in a long time?
I have. They're very heartwarming.
They're so heartwarming. They're nice.
Mm-hmm. Because the dog's like, this person's gone for the rest of my life. I've now adapted, and I'm friends with the other human in the house. And they're like, my human's back!
They lose it.
Ruff, ruff. I feel like every time my roommate John Millhiser, goes for a run, my dogs are like, he's dead. He's gone. And they mourn him. Every time he leaves, they like sit at the door, and they're like, well, he was so kind. I guess this other lady who lives here who never walks us or feeds us, I guess she'll start doing that. And then he comes back and they're like, thank God we didn't have to depend on her. Oh, thank God. They're so excited.
It must be so confusing for dogs when they're like, but where are they going? What could be happening out there? Are they peeing? Mm-hmm. They've been gone longer than a pee. I come back right after I pee.
Yeah, let's get inside a dog's head.
There are some things where I don't know. Sometimes I'll see these things where it's like a dog, when they sit on the couch with you and watch TV, they're not watching TV because they can't see the screen. They're doing it because they're pretending to be like you or something like that. And I'm like, how do you fucking know? Like, who told you this? Did a dog tell you this? Where are you getting this research from?
Truly, dogs are like robots then. You know that thing where it's like, how many buses do you see in these squares?
Because they're kind of like the understand human stuff.
So dogs look at humans and they're like, I'll do what this human does. So we've discovered dogs are robots.
We've figured it out. Robots that are sent here to capture all of our behavior and make us clean up their shit.
Yeah, I mean... dogs got it figured out. They don't even clean up their own shit. Mm-hmm. We pick it up or they just eat it.
Ew. Yes. Yeah.
That's why I don't let my dogs lick my face or my mouth.
Yeah. Because they'd be in that ass, in their own ass.
Yeah. You once had a dog. Did you let that dog lick your face?
I don't think so. No. That's not something we did. Because I don't know. We could express love in different ways. I don't need this dog licking my face.
Imagine if we started licking dogs. Do you think they'd be mad?
I think they'd be confused. It would hurt us more than them because we get hair in our mouth.
Then we'd be spitting up hairballs like cats, and then the dogs would be like, "Oh yuck! I live with a big cat."
Oh man, they'd be so confused. My man wants a cat.
Oh.
I don't know how I feel about it.
What kind?
I don't even know. I don't know what kinds of cats there are. There's the evil kind.
There's Jellicle cats.
I don't think that's a real thing.
Those are real cats. Mm-hmm.
According to cats.
Yeah. But I would really love to come to your home and walk in and see a cat just on just two legs being like, I'm a Jellicle cat. I belong to Sashir and her man. Do, do, do.
We have the Jennifer Hudson cat.
I rewatch Cats and I maintain Jennifer Hudson's performance in Cats is better than her performance in Dreamgirls, and she deserves an Oscar nomination for her performance as Grisabella. Or Grisabella.
I mean,
she takes us on a fucking journey, okay? She is an alley cat / sex worker who's down on her luck. She's kind of scraggly because sometimes sex workers aren't treated very nicely. She is ostracized by the other cats, and we feel it. And then when she sings Memory Reprise, you just feel all of her burdens lift up off of her, and then she gets to go to the heavy side layer.
Which is heaven?
Yeah, because she died, and she's going to come back down for one of her nine lives.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that is Oscar. Quite the journey. I don't know if the Oscars were looking at that movie, honestly.
I really hope I'm going to write a letter to Oscar and I'm going to say, excuse me, Oscar, I think Jennifer needs one of y'all.
Okay. Well, we have guests. Should we talk about them?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about them. So, Netflix has a cute, quaint indie show called Queer Eye. Mm-hmm. And we have two people from Queer Eye. We have JVN, Jonathan Van Ness, and Anthony Porofsky. All right. Now let's open the door. And there they are.
In their own home. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your own body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that will block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctor. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada. And, you know, people talk and you're just like, oh my God, this is annoying. And then you just hit an unsubscribe on a bunch of things you got subscribed to on your email. And you're like, what is happening? And I know you've dealt with yada yada before. Like when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding in the deep in fine print, or bills that seem to keep going up for no dang reason. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have elsewhere. And yes, it's possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included. You don't take yada yada in life. Don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of our over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Love starts with you. Show off your personal style every day with new Pandora pieces that set a shining example for the world to see. From big feelings to small messages and everything in between, beautiful hand-finished jewelry from Pandora radiates with your love from every angle. Create a look that's all your own with a unique mix of meaningful charms, or choose from Pandora's sparkling selection of timeless designs, perfect for making an eye-catching statement. With Pandora Jewelry's vast selection of rings, bracelet, earrings, necklaces, and charms, there's endless ways to love it, stack it, and wear it, and share it.
Style your everyday favorites with sparkling cuts, vibrant enamels, and playful designs. Or truly make it your own with a personal engraving. Pandora Jewelry is the perfect way to share the gift of love with yourself and the ones closest to your heart. Shop now at Pandora.net. Pandora. Be love.
Section of our podcast is called Best Friends Come On and We Talk to Them.
No, you got it, girl. You know what it is.
Besting it.
Besting each other.
I said this so confidently, I thought I was right. Yeah. Oh, boy. Do you want to introduce our guests today? I'm very excited to have them here.
Yes, this guest is so funny. Apparently, we crossed paths at UCB years ago and currently stuck in Austin due to quarantine situations. You've known him from Queer Eye. Please give it up for Anthony!
Anthony, yay. Anthony, Anthony!
Yeah.
That was so beautiful.
Thank you. We're so excited to have you here. Okay, and
yeah. I'm excited to be here.
We're going to be joined by your best friend, JVN, Jonathan Van Ness, later, but we have questions for ya. Okay.
Okay.
So here is my first question. How did you two meet?
So it was during the audition process for Queer Eye. And we were in like some kind of like a hotel. You know those really sad conference rooms where like the carpeting is stinky and like you have those metal, thin metal chairs that like fall apart when you sit on them weird. And it was just a shit ton of us sitting in a room, like going through like the motions of chemistry testing. And the first time I saw him, he was in the corner of the room and he was like kind of frazzled. And then he like sped walked across the room. Yelling, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? And he left the room. And I remember asking one of the casting associates, I was like, who is he looking for? And Allie, the casting director, looked at me and he was like, oh, he's looking for his Starbucks. He left his Starbucks cup somewhere. And so I thought he was looking for a human, but he was just anthropomorphizing his beverage.
I mean,
that was the first time we met.
Gotta find her.
I love it. Where is she? Where is she? That's so funny. Okay, so the next question is, what is your favorite memory from traveling together?
Favorite memory from traveling together? I would say, oh gosh, so many. I mean, we've literally been, I think the most entertaining by far was when we were filming Queer Eye, We're in Japan, and it was our first day, and it was the afternoon, and the time change is like, what is it, 18 hours or something?
Mm-hmm,
or 14? Something like that. Anyway, it's something crazy, and I remember we were all sitting in the car, and we were about to start rolling, and then I remember just kind of looking over at Jonathan, and he was full cross-eyed. I looked over at Tan and full cross-eyed. We were so delirious and we were like falling asleep and we couldn't form full sentences at all. It's like we were all drunk on something. And I just remember just like the delirium of it. And it was like, we got to get our shit together. We have like a show to film. And I just remember like we laughed hysterically at absolutely nothing. And then like 10 minutes later, I cried about something and it wasn't even worth crying over. I was just very emotional. I get very emotional when I'm sleepy.
Yeah.
And so I would say that was definitely one of the most entertaining.
And did you have to get right to work in that state?
Totally. We had like one day before we started filming.
Oh boy.
And then we just had to like get right into it.
That's wild. I feel like they should have given you like 3 days to like catch up to the time zone.
You would think, or like go exploring, see all the new areas. No, we just went right into it. We were like on the express train the entire time that we were there. We had to compress it within a few weeks to get all the episodes in. Yeah.
Dang. Do you have any like tricks that you do to like adjust your body to a new place?
So I am notoriously a horrible flyer. I hate flying because I never really understood how planes work. And so, but because there's like the flooding technique in psychology, like if you're terrified of something and if you're just immersed in it, you just get over it. And that's basically what happened with flying. But I take a shit ton of melatonin gummies. And then I bring a chamomile tea bag. I'm like that old lady who brings her tea to the restaurant and asks for hot water. Because they don't have chamomile tea on flights. They only have the caffeinated ones. Right. So I bring my little satch of my Mighty Leaf tea because it's in a little plastic bag. And then it's in those like nice little sachets. That's French for sachet. And then I just like steep one of those. And then I eat everything and I just fall into a carb coma. And I, you know, get a little fudge brownie situation or like eat every single dessert. And then I just knock out. And then I wake up and I'm in a different time zone.
Smart. Oh, that is smart. I'm not afraid of flying, even though I don't know how planes work.
It makes no sense. It's like this massive hunk of metal.
It's so terrifying. Big. It should fall right out of the sky.
Correct. Yeah, we don't belong up there.
No.
We really don't.
But I think the reason why I'm not afraid of flying is because I'm like, everyone on this plane believes that this plane's going to stay in the air. And I just hope that everyone keeps believing, because I feel like if people stop believing, then it'll fall right out of the sky.
Yep. Yep.
It's like and a Tinkerbell situation.
I always look at the pilot too. I try to engage in eye contact with the pilot and like Same. Make sure like you look okay.
To be like I'm a person and I'm back here. You better keep me fucking safe, sir.
How's life? Are you a happy person?
Yeah.
Are the you worst drunk? Is when the pilot is
yeah,
hot.
Exactly.
I don't like hot pilots because I'm like, I don't know. Things have been easy for you. Do you really know how to fly this plane?
They seem a little less responsible. I'm
going to try very hard to learn how to fly.
A hardship, but who's overcome it.
Yes.
You
know? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I need you to overcome adversity before you start flying this plane.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about your friend, Jonathan?
My favorite thing about Jonathan is I know I'm like, you know, a food guy on the show, but I really love eating with JVN. It's so much fun because with him, I have a fuck it day on Sundays, and he encourages more fuck it days than I do. And so like if I see him midweek, like he will order from 2 to 3 different places on Postmates to have like the perfect menu. Like he wants a bit of Chinese, a little bit of Mickey D's, dessert from 1 or 2 places, and we really get to indulge in anything. So it's always fun because he just like he does whatever he wants, and I try to be like more boundaried and strict and regimented. And with him, it's just like fucking balls to the wall.
That's
Let's
great.
Have queso with some salmon teriyaki on the side. Who cares?
I love that. It's like a celebration
every
day.
Very random duo, but yes, yeah, exactly.
What do you usually eat on your fucking days? Do you ever? Like a usual or just like whatever you feel?
What did I have? So this Sunday, I try to order in, support small businesses, too small to fail. As much as I love to cook and really I've been cooking a lot more in the past, you know, in being in quarantine more than I have in the past 2.5 years traveling. But on weekends, typically it's either pizza. I had Domino's for the first time in like 2 to 3 years. It's so good. Extra sauce, double pepperoni. Do not wipe off that hot, spicy oil off the top. But this past weekend, I had chicken tenders, and the tenders were the size of breasts. So there were like 4 of those with tons of honey mustard. And then usually I don't like delivery fries because they get mushy, but these were actually really crispy. And I think they had a bit of Old Bay seasoning on it, which I really appreciate. A nice little seasoning on a French fry with like a nice little, like an acidic creamy slaw on the side.
Oh,
just to have a bit of that acid. And then there was like a gooey butter cake pie that I topped with Jenny's ice cream.
Oh,
I'm so horny right now.
Yes.
I love my Jenny's ice cream. Jenny's ice cream is legit delicious.
I don't like Jenny's ice cream. I had an incident there. I went to Jenny's ice cream.
So you had an incident, Pat?
Yeah. I famously hate Jenny's ice cream because of an incident. I went there and I asked for 1/2 a scoop. I said, I have a problem with portion control. And I would like half a scoop, please. And the girl behind the counter said, I can't give you half a scoop because I'd have to charge you for a full scoop. And I said, that's okay. Charge me for a full scoop, but I only want half of it. She's like, I can't give you half a scoop and charge you for a full scoop. And I said, but I'm a customer and I'm right. And she said, no, you're not. You're wrong right now. And I said, please just give me half a scoop. I don't want the full scoop. And then she said, I won't. And I said, I hate you. I hate Jenny's. I was so mad. So I hate Jenny.
What was the flavor?
No. I think it was like a blueberry bramble or something.
Oh, I love the blueberry. The brambleberry.
Yes, brambleberry.
Love the brambleberry.
I love it too, but I didn't want a full scoop because I'm going through something. I just wanted half a scoop.
You should be allowed to have half a scoop. And you said you would pay for the whole scoop.
I did. And that's why I don't like Jenny's. She's a tyrant.
Jenny herself.
I think you should give her a second chance. I've never met her before, but I don't right. know. Maybe that Nicole's person is just Ample having Hills a bad girl. Day.
I do love
I've
Ample
never
Hills.
Had Ample Hills.
Oh my God. Ample Hills Creamery is so delicious. They're shut down right now due to COVID-19. But after, I hope they're back up and running and happy. I love them.
Got really emotional there.
I can so relate. Sad they're closed.
I can just relate.
Need them to pull through because if they go out of business, where would I eat ice cream?
Wow.
Oh boy, we should get back on track. Okay. Okay. What's Jonathan's favorite thing about you?
His favorite thing about me?
Ooh. Yeah. What do you think?
How do I answer that and not be indulgent?
Be indulgent.
No, that's the point.
I think, you know, he has brought this up before that I'm always like supportive and nice. Like I'm very non-judgmental. I would say non-judgmental. I think that's what he would say.
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a very good quality to have.
Mm-hmm. You know, never like, fucking judge anybody. What did Fitzgerald say in Great Gatsby in like the first two pages? Like never judge someone unless you've had the opportunity or the misfortune to walk a mile in their shoes or whatever. It's like, you don't fucking know what they're going through. They're GTI. They're going through it. Like just fucking calm down. No need to hate and be judgy.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I judge sometimes. sometimes I can't help it. you know what? I was judging Jenny and her rules, and I don't know what Jenny was going through.
You judged Jenny because of one of her disgruntled employees.
Yeah. Yeah, and that might not be a reflection on Jenny. I gotta go back to Jenny.
Was going through.
I don't. You know what? I forgive her, and I don't judge her.
Oh, look at
gross.
That.
That's gross.
Yes. Who knew we'd be changing throughout one episode?
Who knew? This is best friends changing lives. Okay. What is something that you, Anthony, does that drives Jonathan crazy?
This is a few things. He does not like it when... Well, there was one incident. It was a Celine Dion incident. I should know which song he was singing, but I don't remember. And I should remember because I'm Canadian and also because it's Celine Dion, but he started belting out one of her songs. It takes me a while to get there in the morning. I drink offensive amounts of coffee and I need like 2 to 3 to feel like to achieve like some kind of balance. And I'm very sensitive. And so he just started like screaming right next to me. And I did one of these like shoulder hunch situations. Uh-huh. And he just stopped singing and he gave me the worst death stare ever. He's intense. He's a lot. And I love him, but I'm like, I'm very sensitive. And sometimes I get a little overwhelmed and I just need to like, can we just like chill and like slowly build up there? But he comes in to the fucking car when we're filming and he's like ready to go. It can be 6 o'clock in the morning or 10 a.m. It doesn't matter. He's like his cat dances on Instagram. Like that's actually what he's like. That is not me in the morning. I want my coffee, I want my quiet time, pet the dog, go on CNN for 2 minutes, then get depressed and then get off. And it's I need to build up. And he's just like he's off to the races from the second he wakes up.
Now is this something that is this Are you answering, is this something that annoys you or that annoys...
Oh, he hates that I freak out. But I guess that's something that annoys me. I made it about me, didn't I? Wow. Thanks for calling me out there, Sophia.
No, it's awkward. Fine, because that's our second, that's the other part of the question. That would be the question, right, after.
I answered that part. One thing that really annoys, I think, what annoys him about me? What do I do that drives him crazy? I think sometimes, I don't know, he'll make fun of me if like we're a crafty and if there's like a big vat of like a really nice cheesy penne and I just like go for the grilled chicken because I'm torturous to myself during the week, and then he'll just like roll his eyes and go, ugh. I don't know. I think the fact that maybe I'm very regimented because I tend to be a bit of a control freak and I'm like torturous to myself during the week. And sometimes I think he just kind of like wants me to like let go and like pull the stick out of my ass and just be like, just chill out, have the mozzarella stick. I don't care if it's a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I love mozzarella sticks. You know when the cheese oozes out and it gets a little crispy on the side when you take them out of the oven?
Yes.
And there's that little crispy bit?
Yes. That's tasty. Oh, boy.
So good. I love a mozzarella stick.
Love
sorry. yeah, I guess that would drive him a little crazy.
It's really funny because all your answers are like, yeah, what drives him crazy is when he's being really loud and judging me for eating something. Or...
Oh, God, this is going to take a turn. It already has.
Okay, so which one of you would do better on the television show Survivor?
Oh, I would. Okay. I just got into Survivor and I'm watching... It's the season where all the winners come back. It is fucking fascinating. I'd never seen it before. I'm obsessed. I really think I would do well.
Sahir and I have never seen the show.
We ask this question every episode, but yes, we still have not seen
but
it.
But we've never seen an episode. So why
you should watch it.
Why do you think you would win though? And why do you love it so much?
Okay. So people have different like strategies as to like how they win. Some people are tend to be like intimidating leaders. Other people are very social. Because I'm social and I have an inherent need for everybody to love me, I feel like I would just make friends with everybody and that's how I would get them. Like I'm actually really good at Texas Hold'em and people don't know, people mistake my aloofness with stupidity because I can be a little ditzy sometimes, but I am always thinking. Like I'm a little slow. Like, you know how Jonathan is very quick and impulsive? I'm a processor. If someone says something, I think about it for 5 minutes. I talk to my therapist. I go call a friend about it. And then I formulate an answer and I come back. So I think in the long term of the game, I think I would do really well. And I would love to be like in Fiji.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Sheila, let's go to Fiji.
Okay. As soon as we can go somewhere, we'll go. And our last question. What do you hope you're both doing in 20 years?
I hope Jonathan is living in a house big enough to support at least 15 cats. I hope that he's as politically involved as he is now. What's something that he really wants for himself? I hope that he has his own show at some point as well. You know, like we're all really lucky to be on Queer Eye and we're part of this unit. But I think as you know, as much as we honor the show and we like respect this amazing platform that we've been given, it's really nice. I get really excited when all of my castmates actually, like when they're all pursuing their own different things, whether it's in the fields that we've been hired to do or something completely different. So I hope that he gets to continue that if he wants to, like in the public space or something a little more private. But I just hope that he's continuing to do that. And I know he will because he's so incredibly creative that he just, yeah. And he's a busy bee. That's what I respect about him as well. He loves to work. We both love to run ourselves to the ground. And I hope that he continues to do that. But also maybe hopefully have a couple of businesses so he can like chill because he's a homebody like me too. We're both kind of like conflicting in that respect. I hope he has a lot of cats. And what I hope that he's married.
What do you
and maybe hope, kids?
What do you
oh, hope? I'm sorry. Wait. I'm almost done. And he needs to have and I hope that he has I hope that he has at least two daughters, one of whom will be an Olympic skating hopeful, and the other one in gymnastics. I think that would make him very happy.
Wow. It's probably the most detailed.
It's very detailed.
We've had for that.
But what do you hope you're doing in 20 years, you specifically?
I hope that I have a farm somewhere with animals and at least three dogs. One silly dog, like a corgi, one real dog, like Neon, and then something like in between. And I hope that I have a family. I hope that I have kids. I hope that I'm still close with my family, which I think I will be.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I want to do in terms of like work stuff, but I don't know. I can't think about the work stuff because everything is so like, I don't know where I'm headed. I kind of know, but I don't really know. And I don't like to jinx any of it. Mm-hmm. I just want to be happy. I want New York to be home. I miss New York so much because I'm not there right now. So I always want to have my apartment there. And then I would love to just have a farm where I could like get up in the morning and go and like pick a fucking apple and then slice it up, get some brown sugar, butter, caramelize it, serve it over some oatmeal pancakes, whip some cream, just live that kind of life, you know, cut the rosemary in the garden, that kind of a situation.
I want a farm.
And also just because I saw I just watched Very Ralph for the second time. It's the Ralph Lauren documentary. And I never thought I loved Ralph Lauren so much, but I just want to have I want to have misty mornings on a farm.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's so
nice.
With
a pot of hot coffee.
I've never been hungrier during an episode.
Right? I'm horny for food right now.
Yeah.
That's all. Oh my God.
Like deliciously.
Yes.
I can't help it. Everything is food, you know?
Well,
everything is food.
No, I tried to put a rock in my mouth once. It was your food.
If you tried hard enough, you can make it food.
Oh, my teeth were really screaming. Stop it. Okay, so now we're going to talk to Jonathan, and then we'll bring you back in a little bit.
Thank you.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be black today. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
Now we're back with Anthony's best friend, Jonathan Van Ness.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. I, you know, find myself spending a lot more time in a closet than I ever have. You know, always, you know, doing a little, doing a podcast from inside my closet joke hasn't gotten old yet at all. I bet can tell.
No,
it is a big closet.
It's a nice big closet.
Yeah. Oh, not mad about it, the closet size.
It's actually huge. It's a huge closet.
Well, it's not like, I mean, it's big, but it's, I mean, it's, I mean, it's big. It's big. It's a big closet. It is.
Yeah, this is a huge closet. I would love a closet like that.
Like, I could probably do like an off ice single toe loop in here.
I like that. That's how you measure things.
Yeah. I would love if like a contractor walked into my house and was like, all right, this room is a 4 toe loops by 6 toe loops, and we'll put up the shelves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wish that it was, you know, more like about 6 sow cows by 8 lunches, but it's just not room for it.
I love it. Okay. So we talked to Anthony and we asked him questions. And now we're going to ask you the same questions to see if you actually know each other. Okay. So our first question is, how did you two meet?
At Queer Eye auditions.
Okay. Do you remember like your first interaction or like maybe you saw him from afar? Do you remember anything about that?
Unfortunately, and I know that he probably said this, the first thing that I really remember is that he like really gave me this like horrifically judgmental look because I was like talking about anal and like all sorts of stuff. And I know that he and Tan both were like, and I was like, what? And but then we became really good friends, like immediately.
how did you move past the anal?
I think what brought us to close or really together is that he accidentally thought that he was cut when he wasn't cut. Like this producer came over and gave him this big hug and this like long somber look. And he thought that that meant that he like was dismissed from casting. And I just saw him like outside looking really sad. And I was like, what's going on? And that was like our cue. Yeah.
That's good.
Also, kind of mean to that producer to give a long hug and a sad look.
Oof. Yeah, yeah. But he maybe was just projecting or something. You know, I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
It does suck. Auditions suck because you're like, ugh, they looked at me like in a way, kind of looked past me. And maybe does that mean a thing? It's like they're looking for the bathroom or something. Like, it doesn't even matter. It could be anything. And we're like, does that mean something?
Yeah. I was just debating on whether or not the first thing I ever auditioned for was like a community theater thing when I was like 7. And after I auditioned, I looked up in the yellow pages, the community theater phone number, and I left them like 18 billion voicemails being like, this is why I think I should get the part. I really like this, like let me be in the, and the voicemails escalated. The voicemails escalated from like, please, just like, I really want to be in the chorus. Just like anything. Like, I just really want to be to, if you don't let me in this place, I swear to God. And so like, needless to say, I didn't make it. And I wasn't in the cast.
That's so funny. I would
love to hear this.
I couldn't handle the pressure.
That's so funny. I once had an audition where during the audition, I like started the line and then I looked at the casting director and I was like, you look so young. How did you get this job? And she didn't like that. And I didn't get that part. It was bad.
What are your potentials?
Whose dick did you suck to get here?
I auditioned for Tokyo Disney years ago, and I walked in and was like, konnichiwa! And they're like, all rolled their eyes like, bitch, we've heard this. Please.
Oh, no.
I'm sure I was the 27th person to do that.
That's very funny.
I did not get that job, no.
Oh, they just let you be at regular Disney?
I was just at regular Disney. I didn't get to go to Tokyo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One day.
Maybe, or maybe not. Maybe you'll never get to Tokyo. Jonathan, what's your favorite memory of traveling together with Anthony?
Oh my God, we've traveled a lot together. I want to think about what he would have said. Well, see, here's the thing about Anthony. He is a very nervous flyer. I am someone who is usually taking like a handful of edibles before I go to the airplane because I like to be, you know, just right incapacitated adjacent before the plane ride so that I can sleep, you know. But that's a delicate balancing act when you're using edibles for that because you gotta like, you know, it's like a whole thing. And so, for me, I feel like with Anthony, it's a lot of times I'm just like, you know, letting him process his feelings around the flight. And I'm like, girl, so I kind of feel like I'm, you know, usually asleep is the point of what I'm trying to say. But, oh, actually, I don't know. There's really so many things. I feel like Australia was really fun. It was like a whirlwind. But also, or actually, no, you know what it was? It was being in Times Square and seeing when we were doing press for the first time that Queer Eye ever came out. And I was just about to move to New York City and we were in Times Square and like our billboard came up. And then I just like broke down and unconsolable, like on the ground in New York Times tears, because it was just such a, I just wasn't ready yet. And it was like February 8th or something. I think that was, maybe that's like one of the cutest memories now that I've thought about it for that long. Cause I felt like it was like really pure and it was very much like, oh my God. And it was just him and I, and it was cute. Aww, and then we nice fucked. Moment. Just kidding. We didn't.
Right on the street.
Yeah, you fucked right in Times Square.
We did.
Right at the Niederlander Theater. Former home of Rent. What is your favorite thing about Anthony?
He's so caring. He's such a caring BB. He's also very patient. Well, actually, I can't tell if he's patient or if he just like doesn't come around when he's irritated. So it could be either one of those things. He's really caring. Maybe he's just really caring. He's very caring.
What do you think Anthony's favorite thing is about you?
I don't know. Maybe like my sense of humor or something.
Great. Okay. That's your answer.
I love it. I love the question. The big question mark at the end of it.
Yeah.
What is something that you, Jonathan, does that drives Anthony crazy?
Sing really loud. Like, and also I'm late. And I, probably that. Probably those things.
What's your favorite thing to sing loud?
I don't remember what it was, but this one time, and I've never forgotten it, he got really irritated with me because I was minding my own business right behind him, and he was in the driver or in the passenger seat, and I was behind him, and I like sang something really pretty, and he like jumped and like rolled his fucking eyes like with his iced coffee and was all like visibly irritated, and I was like, calm down. You know, sorry that when you're Quebecois and you speak three languages, you know, sorry, you know, that your iced coffee didn't like the sound of my fucking voice. You know, it's 7:30 in the morning singing Destiny's Child, minding my own business, trying to get in the mood, you know? So
you are a morning person.
I'm such a morning person. I am such a morning person. Such a morning person.
I don't understand morning people.
I'm a morning person to the point where since quarantine has been what we're doing, I am on that good, like, all the way asleep thoroughly by 8:45 p.m., like 9 p.m., and then, you know, at like 5:50, like 6 in the morning, I am up. I am on the news cycle. I am checking in. I am, yes. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't, like, I've only stayed up one time past 9 o'clock in a month.
That's wild. I'm up till 3 a.m.
No, I can't do it. And people in LA will text me like at normal times, you know, like 7, like normal business things. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I was asleep for like 3 hours when you messaged me that. I'm sorry. Like, he's looking like I'm naked, but I'm not. I have on shorts, but like they're shorts. And yeah, and it's a crop top. So it looks naked, but I'm not.
You can be naked.
You can be absolutely as naked as you want.
It's a podcast, not a visual medium.
I know, but we can see each other. I just felt the need to clarify and not to flip the script. But I have a question. Well, I just a statement. Nicole.
Yes.
Your strip pole content is for me easily in my top five. It's in my top five of content. It is like of things I look for. Your bravery I live for. I mean the literal bravery. Like, you are climbing. We are. That shit is scary. I hate it when people like message me and say like, oh, like your brave or like, you're so body, whatever. I'm like, that's sweet. But also like, aren't we all allowed to just be fucking mm-hmm. gorgeous? Like whatever. Yes. Like, I mean, everyone wants to bang, like look at us, you know? So I didn't mean brave in that way because, you know, if I was just any more straight, I'm obsessed with everything. I mean, I'm obsessed. but I meant purely heights brave. I'm scared of heights. I am every time I tumble on the ground, I realize that I'm risking myself, you know, when I hurl my body upside down, it is mm-hmm. scary, you know? Yeah, I just love your fucking strip pole content. It's my fucking favorite. I can't wait to see what you do, queen. I feel like in a year, I do feel like I'm going to be seeing you like doing like, I don't know, like a upside down twerk, triple loop, fucking
that's
pirouette.
All I want to do.
Yeah, no, I really do. I really feel like I'm just going to see this 180 degree pop of the leg. I feel like you're going to climb up there with this confident. And then like when you get up to the top, it's just going to be like, ah! And then you're going to, you know, and it's going to know. I do. I sense it. I see it. So I'm just, yeah, I love that. I'm obsessed with you on that fucking pole. And sometimes I feel like if anything, I just think I need more because sometimes I feel like I'd be checking and it's like, oh, like, I almost could use like a double dose. Like I could use like just a straight video in the morning, but then like some fun, like a carousel at night, you know?
Yes.
Is there a highlight that I could get? Is there a YouTube that I could get? Is there, you know what I'm saying? I just really feel like it's a movement that I need, but not like just pulled it. Nicole Byer on the fucking stripper pole. That's what I want. This is what I'm talking. That's.
Thank
and I think
you.
That it's like kind of people are talking about it. Like I think that people are like, I feel like I'm not the only one that feels like this. So.
Nicole, give the people what they want. Give them a morning pole and a night pole.
I honestly was like, well, all right, I guess I'll stretch after this and hop right on my pole. Wait, what question were we at?
The like probably first one.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. What is something...
Oh, Anthony gets lost everywhere he goes. He has no sense of direction, and he also can't drive.
Oh, my gosh. That Wait, was right at the tip of your tongue.
Like, actually can't drive, or is a bad driver?
I think he just got his permit, or, like, just got his license. It's one of the two. He, like, physically can't drive, and, like, just because he has no experience, and so he's, like, he's... Yeah, like he actually, for the very first time on his birthday this year, for the first time in our whole relationship, drove me like 3 blocks. But we need to cross-check that and make sure he has a license and make sure that that wasn't illegal, because I actually don't really know if it was or not. So, I don't know what, so let's just cross-reference that and make sure that they don't come for us in Austin. But yeah.
okay, I love it. Sashir sometimes scares me when she drives, but in a good way.
Well,
we went to go see a giant dildo, and she crossed multiple lanes of traffic for a parking space.
I had to give you that dildo.
Yes! This is my accent!
Well, those cars came out of nowhere. What am I supposed to do?
okay. Which one of you would do better on the television show in its 20th season, Survivor?
Aunt.
Why?
I don't do that. What was that one reality show where she's like, I don't behave like that. I don't act like that. I don't. That's what comes to my mind. I just can't. I feel like he could rough it a little bit longer. You know, a lot of people don't know this about Anthony, but he actually lived in West Virginia for like a few years. Yeah. Like between Canada and yeah.
Yeah. If you survive West Virginia, you can survive anything.
Yeah. He was like a trilingual immigrant in West Virginia.
Oh,
so I do feel like it would be, but also I'm like a gender nonconforming, like, you know, Jesus lookalike who's obsessed with gymnastics from like a rural downstate Illinois. So I think it was probably, yeah, I don't know. But him, he would still probably win. But I can change a tire. So
That's good. I also can change a tire. I don't know if I could do it now, though. But, like, my dad made sure I knew how to change my oil and change my tire and to, like, argue with mechanics because they overcharge women.
I just had this daydream where you both do a quarantine photo shoot in your, like, I don't know, somewhere around your houses with each of your cars where you're both changing your tires. Maybe to, like, launch this episode of the, or no, I mean, it can't be this, the answer's not involved, but maybe just some other time. But it's, like, really sexy and you guys, like, self-shoot it. Because, like, you know, or actually maybe a photographer could do it from more than 6 feet away, so it's fine. But, yeah, there's, like, a lot of, like, the hair is kind of like this.
Beautiful. To the side, yeah.
Yeah, and you're really, like, to the side, and it's kind of like that episode of America's Next Top Model, that one season when they were, like, out doing in the mechanics in the desert, but this would be, like, in your backyard on the street in LA.
All right, you see? So we have an assignment.
Yeah, we can do it.
You can, yeah, you'll be changing the tire of your Subaru, and I'll change the tire of my little Beamer.
Yes!
She's used. She is in 2013. She's great got a year. Lot of dents. I love her.
It's a great year. 2013 was a great year.
Honestly, 2013 was a very good year for me.
It was the first year that Simone Biles won individual all-around gymnastics championship.
Wow.
Oh.
Just so you know.
There's this new gymnast that I saw. She was dancing to Beyonce. Who is she?
She's fierce. She's from UCLA, honey. Every year, one of the UCLA collegiate gymnasts has, like, a fierce routine that goes viral because, like, their choreography is just super on point and really great. So she was from UCLA, and, I forget her little baby name, and she's fierce, and I should know her name, but I don't know her name, but I wish that I did.
She's amazing. I love it. Okay, so the last question is, where do you see both of yourselves in 20 years?
Happily married.
To each other?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I do. You know, I just keep playing this, like, long friend game, you know, and joking about us being together and everything. Mm-hmm. But, like, I know eventually, you know. And, you know, now with his, like, gorgeous new show that is about, like, girls and boys, I'm kind of, like, both. You know, I'm kind of a little bit, like, mm-hmm. you know, how, you know, like, ugh.
Yes, serve the leg.
Yeah. So I just did that signature Victoria Beckham pose, if you know, because obviously you guys can't see me do that, but yeah. So yeah, I'm just kidding. I feel like in 20 years, hopefully, we'll just be really good friends and we'll be working and we'll be still, like, you know, doing things together. And I love him. I mean, I really do genuinely feel everyone on the cast. I did get slightly jealous when I read this quote from one of the gymnasts in the 2008 silver medal women's gymnastics team that she was like, you know, no one will ever know what that experience was like except for us. And I was like, but I really wanted to be there. But it is true that when you're in, like, a high pressure group situation like that, no one really ever will know exactly what it was like. And so I think, I do think that I have, like, four, you know, lifelong, very, you know, just lifelong friends in the four of those people. So yeah.
That's sweet. I love that. Okay, now Anthony is going to come back.
Yes. And we're going to compare those answers.
Oh my God.
Why not grocery shop from the comfort of your couch? With Thrive Market, the no junk food healthy grocery store, you can. Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. Whether you're looking for organic kids' snacks, low-sugar alternatives, or gluten-free pantry essentials, they restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories. Use their on-site filters to curate your own shopping experience to make simpler, healthier swaps. Thrive Market is great for my lifestyle right now because I don't like leaving my house. I love things being delivered to me. I love when it's specific for the things that I need, especially my dietary restrictions. I love snacking on chips, and I'm so glad that they have grain-free tortilla chips because they're gluten-free and they're healthy and good for you. Non-GMO, grain-free, it's perfect for what I need. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/bestfriends for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/bestfriends. thrivemarket.com/bestfriends.
And we're back! And now we have both Jonathan and Anthony to talk about what they said about each other.
Okay, we asked, how did you two meet? Anthony said, during the Queer Eye audition process, we were in a hotel conference room. It was a very sad conference room with dirty carpeting. And the first time I saw him, he seemed frazzled. And then, actually, JVN, what are your pronouns? I'm sorry.
Oh, you can use any of them. I love all of them.
Cool. And then Jonathan yelled, where is she? Where is she? And then left the room. And Anthony asked somebody who she was. And it turns out Jonathan was just looking for his Starbucks. And Jonathan said that he also met Anthony at the Queer Eye auditions. And he gave me a really horrific, horrifically judgmental look because I was talking about anal. But then we became really good friends immediately. What brought us together is he thought he was cut from casting, but he wasn't cut. He went outside and was really sad, so I went outside, and that's when we bonded for the first time.
That's true.
Actually, he came inside, and that's when we bonded, actually.
Yeah.
I misspoke. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. Outside, inside, it's kind of the same thing. Do you want to do the next one? What it is? It's a place. There are two places.
Yeah.
Outside, inside. Do you want to do the next one this year?
Yeah. We asked, what's your favorite memory of traveling together? Anthony said, when we were filming Queer Eye in Japan, it was our first day in the afternoon. The time change is like 18 hours. We were all sitting in the car about to start filming. I looked at Jonathan and Tan, and everyone was cross-eyed, delirious. We couldn't talk. It was like we were drunk. The delirium of it was insane. We laughed hysterically. And then later, I cried.
And then, do you remember that was when we recorded the Shibuya Crossing? Jonathan, and then we like looked at each other and we were so out of it and we were eating some kind of fast food.
Maybe.
You do not remember that at all. That's great. That's lovely. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
No, I do. I remember it really great.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Jonathan's memory was just Anthony being a nervous flyer. I usually take a handful of edibles when I get on a plane, so I'm usually asleep. And I'm usually letting him process his feelings around the flight. When we were doing press for Queer Eye in Times Square, that was a beautiful moment. I was about to move to New York and our billboard was up. I broke down inconsolable on the ground in tears. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready for that yet. It was pure and it was just him and I.
That was really sweet.
Yeah. And then I said we fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Right there in Times Square.
That's what they called that. Yeah.
In front of families, Spider-Man was present. He was recording. It was really great. And then we went to Red Lobster for some biscuits to celebrate.
I love them.
They're so good.
So good.
We asked, what's your favorite thing about your friend? Anthony said, I love eating with JVN. It's so much fun. I have a fuck it day on Sundays, and he encourages more fuck it days. So if I see him midweek, he'll order a few things from a few different places on Postmates. We indulge. JVN does whatever he wants. Jonathan said, he's so caring. He's so patient. Well, maybe not. Maybe he only comes around when he's not annoyed, but definitely caring. Then we asked, what's your friend's favorite thing about you? Anthony said, I'm supportive and nice. I'm non-judgmental. And then JVN said, my sense of humor?
The big question mark.
You're very funny.
Yeah.
And then we asked, what is something you do that drives your friend crazy? Anthony said, an incident. A Celine Dion incident. He started belting one of her songs. I'm not a morning person. I drink a lot of coffee and I'm sensitive. And I did a shoulder hunch / cringe. And JVN gave me the death stare. JVN shows up ready to go in the morning. He'll make fun of me at Crafty if there's amazing cheesy penne. And I go for the grilled chicken. I'm very regimented and he wants me to just chill. JVN said, sing really loud. Also, I'm late. Probably those things. He was once in a passenger seat in the front of the car. I was minding my own business in the back, and I started singing something very pretty, and he jumped.
Celine Dion.
I thought it was Destiny's Child, but Celine Dion also worked.
It was Celine.
He's like, I'll never forget.
I love that you remember specifically Celine, but not the song.
I think it was I Drove All
I'm
Night.
I'm Your Lady. I was going through a really hardcore phase in 2017 with that song.
Wait, which song? I Drove All Night.
Oh, it was from
I love that one commercial
for the cars. Yes.
I Drove All Night. I love it.
I Drove All Night.
But you added, you added a falsetto where there wasn't a falsetto, and I think that's what got me.
It was not the falsetto. It was the power of my fucking voice, girl. It was not the falsetto. There's no whisper.
It was the power of love.
I don't do a whisper. I do not do a whisper in Celine.
Do a whisper.
I do not do a falsetto.
At 7 o'clock in the morning.
I'm going to text you right now, motherfucker, and you're going to laugh.
You know what else Jonathan hates? When I go on trips with other people and he doesn't come. He does not like that.
Shaking that
head. That was a really, really low blow.
And you know what? And you know what I don't like? When you, at 4 o'clock in the morning, go with 10 and go see a fucking sunset on the Sydney goddamn harbor, and you don't even fucking invite me, and then you post all kinds of videos about it, and, like, the sun hitting your faces, and, like, being all poetic and shit while I was asleep, and you could have texted me, because you know I was going through it at that point, and I was alone in my hotel room, and I could have gone with you, and you know I would have been there with a coffee in hand, with half and half for you, just the way you like it, and you didn't even fucking text me.
Wow. You guys.
You're
I think, speechless. You got him.
Speechless.
No, I just don't. I don't want to lay him out in front of y'all like that.
Whoa.
I'm just, you know. Because you know what's funny is how he said he's non-judgmental. Do you remember how he was just saying that he was non-judgmental?
Our time is limited. Our time is limited.
Yeah, you're hard out. Yeah, you're hard out. Yeah. Yeah, you're hard out. With your hard out.
Well.
Fucking dancing!
We asked, what's something your friend does that drives you crazy? I think the actual answer is going
breathing, apparently. Breathing, existing. I got it. This is really what it is. Fuck him!
Well, Anthony said that JVN comes in hot in the morning, very excited, ready to go. But Anthony's sensitive. And then JVN said he gets lost everywhere he goes. He's got no sense of direction and is a bad driver. He physically can't drive because he has no experience.
Oh,
his mouth is open.
Okay, you know what? Maybe I don't drive a lot. But that's because I get distracted by music and I like to change the songs and it's just not safe to multitask. And I am a really good driver. I'm always a designated driver.
No, you're not. And also,
you're a horrible driver. You get distracted all the time.
Okay, but also, Nicole, can I just, I do feel like you misquoted me. I said he has no sense of direction and he can't drive. It's really what I said.
So sorry.
I said can't. Or maybe I say doesn't know how, but I thought I said, because I thought I was doing a Clueless quote. Except for instead of virgin, it's just like, and he can't drive.
Yeah, well, like, no well your joke didn't land, Jonathan.
Well, no. It was Kimmy. Kimmy wrote it down wrong. It wasn't me. It was Kimmy.
We don't. We're never trying to break up a friendship. We didn't realize this is the most contentious episode we've ever had.
Oh my gosh, we're just kidding.
We love each other.
It really makes me laugh.
Oh, thank God.
I love
the sense of direction.
This is why we're friends by the end of this.
I can't argue the sense of direction.
This is giving me the chemistry so hot and heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
This is giving me the same vibes as when Sashir told me that she would leave me behind during a zombie apocalypse. I couldn't believe it. I'm still not over it.
Why did you? Were you just kidding?
No, she was not kidding.
Wow, she was like, very quickly,
you,
not even a
you wouldn't do anything, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'll kill deers. I'll climb up trees. I'll do what I need. I'll stab a zombie in the eye. And she was like, no, you wouldn't.
You love talking to people.
You'd bring the zombie.
You do love talking to people. You would make friends with a zombie and invite them into our group. And then we would have to figure out how to kill everybody.
She'd have a stripper pole that could take out 10 zombies in a row and drive it in their heads. I think she'd be very valuable.
Yes.
I know that she would be very valuable. Thank you.
We landed on that she has a garage, so we could put our stuff in there. And she could climb trees because she's really good at climbing, and she could get us a coconut or something. So I came around.
Wait, Where is the zombie apocalypse where you can pick coconuts and kill deer?
We don't know yet.
Just curious.
We're not really sure.
If theoretically you'd be in LA still. Yeah. You got to get a meeting point, an action plan, similar to an earthquake, but different.
Yes.
It's true.
We should talk about that. Okay. Let's see. Oh, we asked which one.
I want to do one.
Yes.
What do you hope you're both doing in 20 years? Anthony said, I hope Jonathan is in a big house, big enough to support 15 cats. I hope he's politically involved as he is now. I hope he has his own show. I love when everyone pursues their own thing. I hope he's continuing to do that and also has a few businesses. And I hope he's married and has a few kids. And I hope that he has at least two daughters, one of whom who is involved with Olympic skating. And the other in gymnastics. And then I hope I have a farm somewhere with animals and at least three dogs, a silly dog, a real dog, and something in between. I hope I have a family and kids, and I hope I'm still close to my family. I miss New York, and I want to have a house there and a farm, and I want misty mornings on the farm.
When I hear what I'm told, what I said, I'm really manic and scatterbrained. It's never really dawned on me until just now. It's like, wow, that's literally what I said.
You just wanted to like fill in all the details, and we love that.
You painted a real picture, a nice Bob Ross.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan said, happily married to each other. I keep playing this long friend game, but I know eventually... and now with this gorgeous new show about girls and boys, I'm both. Just kidding. We will still be working together and doing things together. I genuinely love him.
Funny, right?
Oh, wait. We skipped one. The Survivor question. Which one of you would be better on Survivor? Anthony said, oh, I would. People have different strategies. People mistake my aloofness with stupidity, but I'm always thinking, I'm a bit slow. I'm a processor. In the long term, I would do really well. JVN said, Anthony would. I don't do that. Not about that life. Anthony lived in West Virginia for a few years, which has left you equipped to be on Survivor.
Yeah, I rode a bicycle over a rattlesnake once.
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah, accidentally.
On purpose?
Was it living?
Accidentally. It was a baby rattler. Yep.
And then did it pass?
Yeah, no, it lived. I kept going. Okay, I'm terrified of snakes.
Oh.
Yeah. Same.
I think I am too. Yeah. I've never been in the same room as a snake. They don't have limbs? No, they don't.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
Well, I believe that you two are friends. You've answered enough questions that
you answered
show
the questions.
That you know each other.
Yes. So now you can continue your friendship because it now has our stamp of approval.
Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for doing our podcast. We really appreciate you guys making the time, and this is delightful.
Thanks for having us. I miss you.
I miss you. Wait, are you guys quarantined near each other?
Yeah, he's in the other room.
No. Wait, you're in the same apartment?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. He's in this one place and I'm in another place.
Oh. Have you seen each other at all?
From like 80 feet apart.
Yeah.
We took a wide walk apart from each other.
And I brought you cinnamon buns on your birthday.
Oh, nice.
When was your birthday?
He did buy me. Yeah, I guess
I don't bake.
And they were cold. They were like hours old.
They were warm. And I bought extra packets and I put double the icing on them.
Was sweet of him. That thoughtfulness is really sweet.
Wait, why don't you tell them what I gave you for your birthday? The case? The case of chips?
Oh.
Someone sent me 24 cases.
I'll fucking take care of this. Anthony, you know how sometimes people send you stuff that you didn't ask for and you don't want? Uh-huh. Just randomly, like, you just open your front door and there's, like, a case of, like, fucking recycled fucking garbage cabbage chips, you know?
Like, also chips are delicious.
That someone wanted to send to Anthony to try out or whatever. So he gets this box of fucking chips, of crisps, that were made of fucking garbage and cabbage. And
you're such a bitch.
He brought them to me, a whole box.
I carried
a whole dang box of stuff that was full, and I had to deal with that in the middle of a fucking respiratory pandemic. My cats were climbing in that box and fucking popping them and playing in there. It gave my one cat, Liza Mianelli, diarrhea because she wouldn't. That was what broke the camel's back, and I had to take it outside because it was because my fucking cat wouldn't stop eating it. So he re-gifts me this fucking box of garbage, fucking shitty chips.
Hey,
yeah, and you're so caring and patient.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Do you guys want to know what Jonathan sent me for my birthday?
We have to go. I have a heart out.
Jonathan sent me a bonsai tree to New York when he knew I was in Boston.
That's still sitting
in the mail room, dead in a box, and I'm never. I'm going to see it when it's basically like a dried branch, and he sent it to New York.
Bonsai trees are hard in general. They're just like finicky plants anyway, even if you
have a very selfish gift, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of responsibility. Well, glad you guys are still friends. And mm-hmm. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yes.
Thank you for having us. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, have fun with the rest of your days.
Auntie, I never want to see you again. Everyone else, I love you so much. I'm just kidding. I love you so much, Auntie. I love you.
All right, Jonathan, meet me in the kitchen in 5. I'm making I'm making turkey rolls.
Turkey rolls? Right. What's a turkey roll?
Oh, it's just where you take deli turkey meat and you put a shit ton of grainy Dijon mustard and you eat it.
Oh, I don't like mustard.
Yeah, it's not for you. No. It's not for you, Queen. You gotta really love that Dijon deep in your.
I'm not about that life.
You gotta get it all up in your tongue.
It's too tangy.
All right,
bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
That's our show. If you want to ask us a question, you can email NicoleandSashir@gmail.com or call us at 424-645-7003.
And if you have a birthday coming up or a friend's birthday's coming up or Christmas is coming, depending on when you found the podcast, or if you give Thanksgiving presents or you want to give a present to yourself because it's a Tuesday. No, our show comes out on Wednesday. It's a Wednesday. We also have merch at podswag.com/bestfriends.
Bye.
Bye. We did it. Look at us.
We did it.
Whatever job you need to do out there, grab the right tool to get it done. The new F-150 with an available hybrid engine and up to 7.2 kilowatts of pro power on board to power things on the go. It's not a tool you'll hang in a tool shed, but you can certainly use it to build one. The new 2024 Ford F-150. Tough this smart can only be called F-150.
Available starting early 2024. Optional features, the owner's manual for important operating instructions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.